Okay, I'd like to have you turn your manuals back to page 64 again. We'll be speaking about this putting it all together chart. Like was mentioned in the video earlier, once you've done your two or more suggestibility tests, determine on the scale as to where your client fits. If they're non-analytical, look at the chart. You can see where the arrow points over to the non-analytical side. This is the section you would use to create a session for them. Of course, if they're analytical, you would use the left side of the chart. So let's go to the non-analytical side first. I'd like to go through each one of these to let you know what they are. The first thing you'd do for the session is the non-analytical induction. The induction is what you would use to simply relax your client. As you know, with non-analytical, the way to hypnotize them is through deep relaxation. So you've probably heard of inductions before. This is the part where you would use a body scan, which is asking your clients to relax their eyes and their nose, relax your mouth and your chin, all the different parts of the body in succession from the top of their body all the way down through to their toes. We also call this the bore them to death technique, because that's pretty much what you're doing is you're boring the clients, you're lulling them into a deep relaxation. Now, it's important to note that you can never go too slow doing this type of an induction. However, it is possible to go too fast. You want to go so slow that your client has the opportunity to relax each part of his body after you mention it. If you go too quickly and they don't get a chance to relax each part, they may become frustrated and open their eyes. So be sure to go very slow. Now, once you've completed the induction, you would use what's called a depth test. Now, this is not to be confused with a suggestibility test. Remember, the suggestibility test is what you use to find out how to hypnotize your client, analytical or non-analytical, and a depth test is used basically to see how relaxed your client is, how deep they're going into relaxation. There's several different depth tests in the book that we're going to show you in a few moments, but basically you're asking them. One would be like a yardstick test on a scale of 1 to 36, 1 being wide awake, 36 being the deepest you can be relaxed. How relaxed are you right now? And wait for their answer. So now you've relaxed them, you've found out how relaxed they are. On a scale of 1 to 36, anything over 17 I think is great. So if they said 17 or 25 or 30, then you would move on. The next step is a deepener. And by the way, if they weren't deep enough, if they said 5 on that scale, you would still use a deepener. So a deepener is just a way to help them to relax more. This is the part of the session that most people who have been hypnotized non-analytically really enjoy. When you're relaxing to probably being in front of a fireplace and watching the flames, or out front of a waterfall, or watching the waves coming in and out, counting them as they come in and out. All these relaxing scenarios, sitting in a field of wildflowers, walking through a forest, all these type of things are considered deepeners. Probably the two most common ones that we use are the stairwell. There might be 10 or 20 stairs, and with every step you go down, you go deeper and deeper into relaxation. 20, 19, 18, so that's a deepener. And the elevator. The elevator is the same thing. It has 20 floors. They're getting on this beautiful, spacious, large, happy elevator for those people who might have claustrophobia. And as the elevator goes down, you're going to go deeper and deeper. And you have both of those in this book as well. So once you've done the deepener, you've tested them, you've relaxed them a little more, now you're ready to hypnotize them. This is where you would do your suggestions or your scripts. Scripts, by the way, is just a word that's short for prescription. So the suggestions or the scripts are what they're there for. If they came to see you for weight loss, that's where you'd hypnotize them for that. If they came to see you for nail biting, bedwetting, test taking, whatever it is, that's when you would do that. Once you've completed that, you would do the awakening. The awakening is simply A short blurb that you would read that would help them to open their eyes. On the count of five, you'll open your eyes feeling wonderful in every way. We have several of those. You could read them to see which one you like the best that you can use for that as well. So you can see for the non-analytical session, there's only five steps here. Now notice, right after the deepener, okay, there's a little shaded in words that says second depth test, only if needed. Let's say you did the first depth test and your client said, out of a scale of 1 to 36, he's only a 5. You would do the deepener, then you would do another depth test. If he still says he's only a 5 or a 6, then you could swap him right over to the analytical session, which I'll show you in a moment where you would do that. That would be one option. Of course, you could use another deepener if you like. Or, a little bit later on, we're going to be teaching you about instant and rapid inductions. You may even want to use one of those, if you like, as a way of bringing them deeper, and maybe even trying to continue with a non-analytical session. But, basically, if all fails, bring them to the analytical side, because you already know that analytical sessions work on everyone. This way, you will not miss. And, by the way, that's what makes you better than a CD or an MP3. You can always swap them over and get them successful every time. Whereas if somebody buys a non-analytical CD, they've got to continue with that session until it's finished. They can't really swap on a CD. It's only made one way or the other. Now let's go to the other side for the analytical clients. You notice there's five things there as well. Before we go through the list, let me tell you all that you really need to do. The active ingredients of the analytical session are the analytical vehicle, see that halfway down on page 64? The analytical vehicle, the suggestion and scripts, and the awakening. That's all that really needs to be done. However, if you did just that, you'd probably be done your session in about 10 minutes. And of course, people have come to see you for an hour session, they're going to feel ripped off. So, in order for them to get the full experience, and even to relax more, we also include an analytical induction and a depth test. Now, we already said analytical people don't like to relax. Well, an analytical induction is like the non-analytical induction, but it keeps their mind busier. Matter of fact, you might even think it sounds a little confusing when you read it the first time, because it kind of hops all over, but the analytical mind likes that. There's another analytical induction called the eye strain method, where you have your client looking at a spot on the wall slightly above eye level, straining their eyes, and then you have them close their eyes and open them every time you count backwards from 20 down to 1. And somewhere is maybe when you say 12, maybe 10, maybe at 8, their eyes are going to be some so tired they won't want to open them anymore, and they can just keep them closed. So see, this keeps their mind busy. There's other ones in the book, but that just gives you an idea. You're using an induction that relaxes them a little, however keeps their mind busy. Now the depth test, you can use a depth test, and if they don't respond well to it, like on a scale of 1 to 36 and they say 5, don't worry about it because they don't have to be relaxed. But so you don't make your client feel like they failed, if they say 5, simply say something to them along the lines of, great, you have a strong mind, let's move on. Always let your client feel like they've succeeded, okay? And if they say they're at a 36, great, you have a strong mind. So the same thing, and you continue to move on. So it starts with an analytical induction, the depth test. An analytical vehicle is something that you would use to keep their mind busy. It's a job that you're giving them to do. And while they're doing it, you're reading the suggestions of the scripts. So an example would be, I want you to write on a blackboard. Okay? Imagine you have a blackboard in front of you and you're drawing a big circle, and inside it I want you to draw the letter A, and then erase the letter A. Then draw a B and erase the letter B. And draw a C and erase the letter C. Continue doing that until you've gone through the whole alphabet. While you're doing that, don't listen to me. Just continue doing your job as I'm speaking to you. So go ahead and do that. And once they're doing it, start giving them the script. This way, they're concentrated on a job. They're keeping busy, which is what they like to do. And your suggestions are getting by without being resisted. And that's the whole idea, is to keep their mind busy so that they're not resisting the positive suggestions that you're giving them. Of course, once you've given them the suggestions, you simply do the awakening and have them open their eyes. Now, probably the two most important pages you're going to be using in this course are page 64 and page 10. I'd like you to keep your page 64 handy, but go to page 10 for a moment if you would. Page 10 is in the table of contents, and I'd like you to look at the way we have it arranged from chapter 5 all the way to chapter 10. Those five chapters are arranged in a way that they align with the five parts of the sessions that you will be doing, whether they're analytical or non-analytical. So, look at the right side. On the non-analytical side on page 64, it starts with an induction, depth test, and deepener. Go to 10. Chapter 5 is induction. You have both non-analytical and analytical inductions. Chapter 6 is depth tests. You have four of them right there. Now, by the way, the magnetic hand is just for non-analytical. Don't do that one on an analytical or you may fail, okay? Chapter 7 are deepeners. Now, chapter 8 is analytical vehicles. Look on the left-hand side on 64. You have induction, depth test, and analytical vehicle. So you see it goes induction from both sides, depth test from both sides. Chapter 7 is the deepener. Chapter 8 is the analytical vehicle. Then chapter 9 is the scripts or suggestions, which is on both sides. And of course, chapter 10 is your awakening. So now you can see when you want to put a session together, like you're going to have in the assignments from this lesson, if you put together a non-analytical session, you'll take something from each one of those sections. So you're going to take one induction, one depth test, one deepener, one suggestion or script, and one awakening. So to hypnotize someone, all you have to do is basically very slowly read each one of those scripts in succession, making each sheet blend into the other one. In other words, don't pause between every sheet and make the rustling noise and go to the next one. You want them to think it's one complete story you're doing. That way they're not going to hear you making all the fuss and muss and be disturbed by the wrinkling of your sheets like that. Okay, and the same thing, if it's an analytical session, you're going to take one of each one of those, an induction, a depth test, no deepener, notice that, induction, depth test, analytical vehicle, suggestions, and awakening. In fact, keep in mind that when your client calls to set up a session with you, you're probably going to have a day or maybe even 2 or 3 days advance notice. So before that client comes in, it would be a good idea to have two stacks of papers waiting, one for a complete non-analytical session and one for a complete analytical session. Once you've had a time to speak to your client and do the preliminaries at the beginning of the session, which we'll learn about in a future lesson, then you would test your client with a suggestibility test and you would go to whichever stack you need, the non-analytical stack or the analytical stack. But it's good to have both of them ready so you don't have to tell your client to wait there while you're fiddling through papers. Also, if something happens during the session, let's say you're doing a non-analytical session, you do your depth test and you find out that the person just isn't relaxing and you want to swap them over to an analytical session, you'll already have those papers handy. By the way, once you've done a non-analytical induction and a depth test, at that point when you test them, if they're not deep enough and you need to bring them over to the other side, to the analytical session, you would bring them right to the analytical vehicle. You don't have to start all over again with the induction. So you would go non-analytical induction, depth test, oops, he's not deep enough, right to the analytical vehicle, then the suggestions and the awakening, and it'll work beautifully for you. I'd like you to turn to page 103 for a moment now. On page 103, you're going to find a template that we have here on how to write scripts. Basically, it's instructions and a lot of blank sheets, a couple worksheets. You can use them if you want. You can copy them, or you can just try creating your own. But this week's assignment is going to be to write two original scripts of yours. Now, that's also an assignment for this course. Those will have to be sent in at the end of the course. but I'd like you to write two original scripts. Now, when I say original, I mean just in your words. Don't try to find a topic that no one's ever written on, because you probably won't. So even though we already have plenty of stop smoking scripts, you can write another one because yours won't be like the others. But before you use this template, try to write something on your own. A lot of times doing something original is better than following through all the helpmates that we have in the book. Keep in mind that when you're writing a script, all a script is the instructions that you would give to a 5-year-old child or someone with a 5-year-old child mentality of how to correct the behavior they're there to correct. So in the case of quitting smoking or losing weight or something that's large like that, that would probably take quite a few instructions. That might be a page or 2 pages. However, if you're just trying to hypnotize someone to stop biting their nails, how many different ways can you tell a 5-year-old not to bite their nails? So that might only be a 1/2 page, maybe just a few paragraphs. Remember, a 5-year-old will get overwhelmed if you give them too much information, if you give them too many assignments to do. A lot of times you'll see these scripts in a lot of books where they go on and on and on. I think sometimes hypnotherapists have a tendency of liking to hear their own voice and try to use these really big words. You're dealing with a 5-year-old. If you've had children, think about it. How many big words can you use on them before you lose them? Get to the point. Make it simple. Make it present tense. And get it over with. Okay? Now, looking through this, I'm going to go through it with you really quick. You can see the way we have it written on page 103. You would put down the topic. This is if you want to use this template. Underneath all the different aspects, that might be the different paragraphs you're going to do. Like with smoking, you might want to replace the smoking with water. You might want to tell them their food will taste better, which would be aspect 2. Aspect 3 might be they're going to exercise. So this is just to give you different topics. The next section, 1 through 7, the topic order, you would put them in any kind of order you'd like to have them in. The next section talks about using as many of the senses as possible. You don't need to use all 5 senses, but the more you can make it real, the more senses, and especially the more imagination you can use, the stronger the session will be. One thing that makes a session very strong is to use emotion. For instance, if you were quitting smoking, imagine how wonderful you feel, how excited you are that you are a non-smoker. That really helps strengthen it. Emotion is one of the strongest things for change that can be used. Always use positive suggestions. Never use anything negative. Don't use humor or sarcasm. Just positive suggestions. Active words are good. Active words meaning things like excited, energized, anxious, happy. Those are all helpful. Think of a lot of the children's shows that you may have seen. Maybe Sesame Street, Barney. A lot of those shows, what made them successful for the children is that they were overly exciting. They used words like wonderful and excited and I just can't wait. Things like this here to get the kids excited and doing things. While you're dealing with a 5-year-old mind, they work there as well. Remember the buying in principle. What I mean by that is, if someone needs to lose 150 pounds, it's hard to buy into that because that's a whole person. However, if you say, let's lose 20 pounds for now, and then once we hit the 20 pounds, we'll go more, you can buy into that. You can believe it. It's kind of like getting somebody to buy into running a marathon when they can't run to the mailbox. They need to believe that they can do whatever it is you're asking them to do. So make it attainable. Remember the buying in principle. There's a few other things that can also be used on page 104, so go ahead and read through that on your own. And on page 105 is where you would take all this information and put it together to make a complete script. So go ahead and write 2 scripts this week. Matter of fact, while it's all fresh in your mind, you might want to do it as soon as this lesson is over. Write 2 scripts on something that maybe is important to you. Maybe there's something that you're trying to improve on or change. Or maybe there's something that you specialize in. Some of the best scripts that we have are written by people who are familiar with it. For instance, someone who had fibromyalgia wrote us a couple of great scripts on fibromyalgia because they were familiar with it. It was passionate to them. A doctor might write something about healing. If you're in the mental health field, you might want to write something about depression or whatever you specialize in. But whatever it is, write something that you are familiar with, that you are passionate about, and you'll find the script will be much better. That's it for this week's lesson. Be sure to take the time to write your two scripts. And if you have the opportunity to practice your suggestibility test on anyone, be sure to do that and even create your own graph and put them on the graph so you can begin to get a feeling of how that's going to work. Have a great week.